Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And today's episode is all about sinus issues and why I find that, like every other patient I see these days, is taking Flonase and using Flonase to keep their sinuses open. Why do we have a society of clogged up sinuses? We can't all possibly becoming more allergic, can we? Well, the truth of the matter is, I think we are becoming more allergic, and it starts with our gut, not actually our sinuses. So that Flonase that you might be spraying up your nose, or if you have friends that are using it, like addicted to it, because I really do have to say Flonase addiction, because I have so many patients that are like, oh, heck no, I can't stop that. I can't take out the Flonase. I won't be able to breathe. That's not good. It's a cover up if you take the Flonase out and you still get sinus congestion. Something else is going on. So in this case, today I'm going to talk about what the heck is provoking the sinus congestion that just keeps on going, and how the heck do we stop it? And where do we go from here? You know, how do all the different processes to stop it? Is it just diet? Is it more than that? I'm going to talk about it today, and I'm going to break it down in terms of what you should be thinking about with chronic congestion. And if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I really don't have chronic congestion, I have congestion once in a while, pay attention to what foods provoke it, what environments provoke it. Like, for example, if I went to a bar where they actually still smoked this day and age, I would totally have sinus congestion. It would irritate me. But the same thing happens if I go and indulge in some ice cream. So, what does that say about my gut? Well, I've told probably this a million times on this podcast that I have the world's worst gut. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, genetics. And somehow I have a very sensitive gut that likes to have all kinds of issues. But what I found in this journey of figuring out my gut is that there's a lot of different connections related to overall health and status of where your gut is at, but also where your sinuses are at, because your sinuses are a great barometer of what's happening in your gut. And let me pose this to you. A lot of people don't have any digestive issues. They're like, yeah, I'm pooping on the regular. I don't really have much gas or bloating. I don't have any stomach pains, aches, etc. But then I say, do you have sinus stuff? And they're like, yeah, I get a sinus infection every year, like clockwork, every March or every December. Yeah, we got to talk about that. That is quite possibly all rooted in the gut. So a lot of people ask me, do these issues with the sinus start as an allergic reaction, and then using the Flonase over and over again, did that just keep compromising your immune system? And then the gut kind of did its thing? Or was it the gut that started this all along? My theory is that the gut started this. And so sinus congestion, normally in my case, when it's a chronic issue, acute issues can be bugs that get into the sinuses causing an immune system reaction, which is a normal reaction to a bacteria or virus that gets in there, or even a fungus. But for folks that have chronic gut issues and sinus issues, or just chronic sinus issues, there's a huge connection with the health of something called your mucosal tissue. So our mucous membranes, it's in your nose, it's in your sinuses, it's in your mouth, it's in your throat, it goes all the way down your esophagus, into your gut. So it's all connected there. It also all shares the same type of immune tissue, meaning immune system reactive tissue. So if something that you've been exposed to before comes in, your body's going to create an immune system response against it. And in the case of using Flonase over and over and over again, what you're doing, because Flonase is a steroid, it's going to block allergic reactions. And by that, it's going to block your body from being able to send off warning signals that something might be invading it. Because essentially, a allergic reaction is your body going, oh, foreign agent, don't like it, create inflammation, bring mucus, bring histamines, etc. But if you have a bacteria or virus or fungus that gets into your nose and you're chronically using Flonase, you're not going to be able to fight off an infection as well as if you weren't using Flonase. So what I'm saying here is that Flonase compromises your immune system and allows your immune system to be open to allowing viruses, bacteria, and funguses to wreak havoc in your system. So yes, it's a great treatment. I can't argue it. There's nothing I have naturally that can work as well and as quick to get the nasal passages and the sinuses open. But it's at a price here. Whereas some of the natural stuff, such as the neti pots and the Neil Med rinses, if you add essential oils like oregano, which is really antimicrobial, it can help to open up the sinuses and really do what you want on the level of opening sinuses, but also fighting bacteria, viruses, and funguses from getting in the system. The only thing it doesn't do is prevent a true allergic response. Where do you got to work on that? You got to work on that the gut. And you also have to work on overall reduction of the body's excitedness about creating histamine responses. Now, this is easier said than done and doesn't happen overnight, but it can be done. So why I'm talking about this is because I feel like so many people are using Flonase as a crutch. And while there's no data that says that long-term use of using Flonase is that bad, what we do know about long-term use of Flonase is that it does compromise your immune system. And you can compromise your tissue barrier and end up with nasal sores and things of that nature. So something to really, really keep in mind here. When you have someone or you're using Flonase day in, day out. So, of course, because I'm a naturopathic doctor, I'm thinking about get to the root cause, get this root issue cleared up here. And, of course, the root issue with chronic sinus congestion, and especially if the chronic sinus congestion is worse in the morning and tapers off during the day and then the next morning worse again, you got to go back to that gut. Because mucosal tissue is very similar. So mucosal tissue, like I said before, mucous membranes, it's in your mouth, it's in your nose, it's in your sinuses, it's all the way down your throat, esophagus, all the way through your gut. And it has very similar immune tissue, like I mentioned before. So if you get the immune system going in, say, the nose, it's going to create a system-wide reaction. So anything that irritates your gut will irritate your sinuses. Anything that irritates your sinuses will irritate your gut. Vice versa. Same thing goes with nose. Same thing goes with mouth, too, in terms of chronic infections like abscesses, in dental abscesses and mouth sores and things of that nature. This isn't a mucus tissue issue, and these things affect the whole system all the way down. So any type of tissue issues anywhere in the nose, sinuses, mouth, throat, etc., I'm always thinking about gut-wide inflammation as well. So this immune tissue that's in your mucosal tissue areas, it's super, let's say, reactive, because when it's already seen something before, meaning you've created an antibody to something, let's say it's a molecule of corn, for example. Corn, by the way, is one of the most highly inflammatory foods out there because of its genetic modification and because of the amount of pesticides used on it. I highly recommend if you're going to eat corn, you got to get the organic types of it to lessen the load. But keep in mind that the body doesn't know organic versus non-organic when you go to the simple molecule of corn. So if your body's reacted to non-organic corn, it's still going to react to organic corn. It might not do it to as high of a degree, but you're still going to get an inflammatory reaction, meaning that your body sees that molecule of corn as a invader. And now when I'm saying molecule corn, it's not like the kernel of corn is going across into your bloodstream. It's a very far breakdown product of corn. So we're talking about sugar molecules and carbohydrate molecules in this case. But they all have a certain, let's say, footprint to them that the or fingerprint to them that the body knows when it gets in the bloodstream, oh, this isn't supposed to be here, must attack it. And then once you eat it again and your bloodstream's already been exposed to this particular molecule, it's going to create an immune system reaction. An immune system reaction is characterized by histamines being released, blood flow increasing to the area where the body sensed, oh, crap, corn invaded, corn invasion, and it's going to bring histamines, it's going to bring fluid, it's going to bring cytokines, all of the warning proteins and molecules that say, hey, we've got an invader here, and then we're going to have an attack happen. And when that attack happens, we will get increased mucus. We will get increased blood flow, like I said before, and that's what blocks nasal passages and sinus passages. Same thing happens is if you get exposed to a virus, your body's going to attack it the same way as a small breaking down product of corn that's got across into your bloodstream via leaky gut. Now, if you're listening to this and you're like, what the heck's leaky gut? So I've talked about it before, but for those of you that haven't heard me talk about leaky gut really is the case in which the body has created a separation between the gut mucosal tissue. So the cells in the gut are separated apart, and they're usually held together by something called tight junctions. So these proteins hold them together. But what happens is we create enough inflammation that these tight junctions are attacked, and now we have holes through the normally tight together, smashed up against each other tight cells, the barrier not letting anything get across. There's also the case in which we can have attacks where we create pores through cells that we don't necessarily want to be created either. So we have all varieties of this leaky gut component, but the simple thought of it is that we've got inflammation on the gut lining that causes the cells to separate apart. Molecules that should be staying in the gut get across into the bloodstream, and the body is going to naturally, our immune system is naturally going to attack those invaders. And yes, corn, dairy, soy, gluten, all can be invaders. Even pineapple can be an invader. It just depends on what you were eating when the body had that inflammatory reaction. So how do we get this inflammatory reaction to go out of control? Well, usually it boils down to our protective mechanisms on our gut lining, because there are some people who do not have leaky gut. And while it's few and far between, if you have sinus issues, I'm betting 9 times out of 10 you're going to have this leaky gut component. That's why I wanted to talk about it here in this podcast. So on the gut lining, we have our cells packed tightly together. Above the cells tight packed together, we have mucosal, like mucus barrier. So we call it a mucus barrier. That mucus barrier really is a good protective lining above your cells. It's kind of like that Band-Aid above the cells. And on that mucus layer, we have our bacteria. And our gut bacteria are made of mostly gram-negative bacteria. We have some yeast that hang out in the gut too, but mostly we have gram-negative bacteria. When gram-negative bacteria die because they're either being irritated by something we ate, they're either being weeded out by another type of bacteria, maybe a what we'll call a pathogenic bacteria, so one bacteria that we don't necessarily want in the gut, but now it's started to invade, something like Clostridium difficile, most common bacteria that is transferred in hospitals and gives a pretty severe case of diarrhea, but it's a type of bacteria that can weed out our normal residence of our gut. Now, these normal residents of our gut release endotoxins, like I said. These are toxic material that cause damage to our gut lining. And those endotoxins, there's many of them, but the most prominent one that we have researched related to the gut is something called lipopolysaccharide, which is going to be known as LPS for short. So this lipopolysaccharide will trigger inflammatory reactions in the blood. And by this, I mean we could have rashes, we could have hives, we could have joint pain, or we could have sinus congestion or brain inflammation, mood changes, brain fog. Lots of different things can happen when our gram-negative bacteria are being killed or inflamed, so irritated because of or being damaged because of switches within the gut. Now, when I say switches within the gut, that means changing food and diet, Frankenfood, any of the random gross laboratory-made foods that come in a box that our body doesn't know what to do with it, it can trigger the death of some of our beneficial bacteria. And if some of our beneficial bacteria are dying, we get this release of endotoxins and, in particular, something called lipopolysaccharide. So interestingly enough, let's talk a little bit about lipopolysaccharide for a minute. So polysaccharide is a sugar. Researchers have used LPS, lipopolysaccharide, to induce Alzheimer's, MS, obesity, diabetes, autoimmune conditions, anxiety, and depression, all in animal studies, mostly with rodents. That's pretty trippy. Now, why rodents? Rodents are similar to us, and that's why they're the number one studied creatures to figure out what happens in the human case or the human condition. And with LPSs, the fact that we can put in high enough amounts of these into rodents and create disease that mimics most prevalent diseases in Western population, that's trippy. And also very, very characteristic that we've got a serious issue here with the guts. And if we don't work on our guts, we are going to have problems like chronic sinus infections that we have to keep treating with antibiotics, that antibiotics end up killing bacteria in your gut, and then you get more LPS. So it's kind of like this cyclical problem. Now, while the antibacterial medication might help chronic sinus infections, what it's likely doing is really killing the bacteria that might have built up in the sinus due to increased mucus, because that definitely happens. The key is to not let it get that far so that you don't end up having to get an antibiotic. So now, here's another interesting connection with lipopolysaccharides, otherwise known as LPS, and coconut oil. So there's been this huge debate. Is coconut oil good? Is coconut oil bad? What's the deal with coconut oil? Well, coconut oil in its refined form has been found to cause production of the most toxic lipopolysaccharide forms. And this is broken down coconut oil, which is kind of trippy. What I've found personally is that coconut oil increased my cholesterol. It also caused rashes and hives in me. And this was unrefined. I wasn't even using the refined. So when I say unrefined is what's been researched to cause the most toxic forms of lipopolysaccharides, so LPSs, I really don't know about unrefined. But if I think about it, unrefined versus refined, they're both going to break down into basic molecules. And I don't know the difference between the exact breakdown, but I know enough about biochemistry that they might not be that drastically different. And I've found that it's like half the population, because I've seen it in half my patients, that some have high cholesterol due to coconut oil, and we pull them off the coconut oil and their cholesterol goes down, and others don't have issues with it. What does this say? It might very well be the health of their gut. Now, remember, I've mentioned before, my gut is my Achilles heel, if you will. It is the vein of my existence. I struggle with keeping balance in my gut. And the reason for this for a lot of people is that because of genetic mutations, because of what you've inherited from your family, but also different stressors, which stress is a huge one on your gut, your condition will flux. And I think in my case, based on different episodes in my life, different things that have happened, I can really go back and link my biggest gut issues with stress and eating differently and the reaction that my body had in that case. So why am I telling you this? Well, the more omega-3s that you eat, So the more fish oil that you take in, the more fish that you eat, the more flax, et cetera, the more you can decrease the LPS toxicity of bacteria. So in that case, I've had different moments in my life where I wasn't taking as many omega-3s. And sometimes when you get stressed, you forget to take your supplements. You don't eat as well. You don't get as much, let's say, salmon, things of that nature. Well, that's when I've found in my case and with other patients that things have gone off the rails in terms of rashes, in terms of weight gain, things of that nature. And so what am I trying to say here? Well, I think the jury's out on coconut oil, and I think it really does go to what kind of gut bacteria are you working with in terms of how healthy is coconut oil for you. So what my blanket statement for coconut oil with my patients is, make sure it's unrefined, but don't use it every day. Keep it on a rotation basis. If any of my folks have sinus congestion or anyone has some pretty significant autoimmune types of reactions, I cut coconut oil out altogether. The same goes with other oils that are out there. I just went to the grocery store with my assistant the other day to help her with finding healthy foods and making some really good food choices, and realized that I think a lot of people don't know that peanut butter is, one, an inflammatory food, but two, the oils that are used in common peanut butter, and I'm saying common because I don't want to throw out a bunch of brand names, but your common brands that you've known since you were a kid, pretty much, those brands have hydrogenated oils. Hydrogenated oils do not do well with our gut bacteria, nor do any refined oils for that matter. So if you're reading a label and you're seeing fully hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil, do not buy that product, because it has the ability to create problems with your gut bacteria, and you might be creating more of a problem of creating LPS, so more lipopolysaccharides in your gut lumen. Same goes with other oils such as refined palm oil, cottonseed oil, canola oil, oil blends. Vegetable oil is a common oil blend, soybean oil, canola in particular, used to be our healthy oil, right? And it's been inundated with so many toxins because of the amount of pesticides it needs for its growth. It's a problem. Canola is not the healthy oil that we used to think it was. So what am I recommending to folks? I'm having folks looking at expeller pressed oils, because anytime you heat oils up and you fry them, now you're creating a problem. So like chips, tortilla chips, potato chips, all that creates a problem in the gut lining no matter what. I don't care who you are. It's going to affect your gut bacteria. You're going to create some endotoxins. The fact of the matter is, can you deal with the amount of endotoxins that are released? Are you going to get a rash? Are you going to get hives? Are you going to get more symptoms of an allergic response? Are you going to get more sinus congestion? So to sum up what I'm spewing out here is, if you have sinus congestion, you really want to get clean oils that you're using. Expeller pressed olive oil, avocado oil, expeller pressed safflower, sunflower are fine. You just want to be using them over medium heat. Avocado can go on higher heat. Just be careful with your oils and stay away from coconut oil for now. Let your body relax in that department, and then watch the fried foods, because those guys can create some really hefty inflammatory reactions in the body. So as I've mentioned, diet does matter. What you eat does matter. And in particular, these lipopolysaccharides, what they also do is they can cause leptin resistance. And leptin resistance is when your brain doesn't receive full signals despite increased amounts of the hormone leptin. It does not receive the signals that it's full. And high-fat diets increase lipopolysaccharide. And it can also cause insulin resistance. Now, a lot of people are big touters of keto diet and its benefit for insulin resistance and its benefit for leptin resistance. But the problem is, if you go on Pinterest or any website on keto, you're going to be seeing people eating copious amounts of fat that is not clean fat. The way to do the keto diet right is to eat clean, closest to nature plant-based fats. But unfortunately, what I see out on the internet is salami rolls with cream cheese and, I mean, just you name it in terms of like bacon-wrapped jalapeno cream cheese stuffed poppers. I mean, oh my God. All I can think about is we are killing our guts with the high amount of non-digestible, well, not non-digestible, but like difficult to digest fats. So like, here's some thing to think about. Rodents were given a low dose of LPS, so the lipopolysaccharide, for 6 weeks. And in that 6 weeks, they started to create leptin resistance. So inability to determine when they were full. Now here's another research study with rodents. A high caloric, high fat diet induced inflammation in the rodents, and their endotoxin levels went up, and it only took 4 weeks for those to go up. I currently have some patients in my practice right now that are on the keto diet that really love it, but they keep coming up with rashes over and over again and breakouts that are pretty significant in terms of itching and rashes. And what's happening is that their body is creating these rashes in response to elevated levels of LPS. And it's because they don't have the right gram-negative bacteria. They don't have the right beneficial bacteria in the gut to be on that diet. And the same thing goes with a lot of people who are doing the ketosis diet. They're coming off of a standard American diet. Now they're jumping to basically high-fat standard American diet minus the carbs. It doesn't work. When you come off of it, you're going to have a huge problem with trying to balance your weight. Your weight's going to go up really fast, or you're going to have some serious issues. So I have a huge problem with the keto diet in the respect of how it's carried out. If you have a doc who's monitoring you and helping you with the clean fats, meaning closest to nature fats, meaning raw nuts, seeds, or sprouted raw nuts, seeds, things of that nature, great. But in the case of folks who are eating roasted nuts and seeds and a whole bunch of deli meats and things, these are toxic to your gut, and you're not doing yourself any favors in the gut realm. And you're probably going to still have nasal congestion in this case. So I'm not a huge fan of the keto diet. And in fact, I went on a modified type of keto diet for a while, a couple years back, and ended up with some rashes and different issues and wondered why, like, yes, I lost weight. Absolutely. But at the same respect, I think I jacked up all of my gut bugs, because now when I went back to eating carbs and tried to balance my diet back out, I've had a heck of a time trying to get my gut bacteria back online. And I have struggled with my weight. And I've talked about it on the podcast in terms of why am I overweight and why do I overeat. I really do think that this lipopolysaccharide issue in terms of creating leptin resistance is a real thing. It's happened to me. I've seen it happen to a whole bunch of patients. I've seen it happen to a lot of people who go on keto diets and they're weightlifters, or they go on high protein diets and they're weightlifters, and then they do their competitions, and then when they're done, boom, the weight goes up really fast afterwards, sometimes at like a ridiculously fast rate. I think it has to do with this component of the lipopolysaccharide increase thanks to endotoxins in the gut creating leptin resistance. And remember, leptin is what tells us when we're full. And I struggle with this to date. I'm still working on my gut. And if you listened a couple podcasts ago, I interviewed a guy from the company Microbiome Labs about their new program for healing up leaky gut. And I am starting that now and will report to you later to let you know how that pans out, because I have some work to do, because I've been finding that even as myself, you know, waking up in the morning, I do have some slight nasal congestion. And so that leads me to having you pay attention to foods and thinking about what you're eating related to the nasal congestion. Because if you're suffering from nasal congestion, you want to make a note about what foods affect you differently. And in particular, the foods that are most inflammatory to you. For example, for me, dairy, and for a lot of people, dairy will cause nasal congestion. And most people think, well, it's just because it's a mucousy food. Well, yes, but it also has a high affinity for causing a reaction in the body. Another food, gluten. Definitely gluten and wheat will do that to me, for sure. And so those are biggies. Corn as well, another one. I think corn almost might be worse than wheat right now for myself. And so I've mentioned three. Soy is another. Nightshades are another. Beans and grains, if they're not pressure cooked, can cause issues because of the high amount of lectins. So pay attention to the foods that you eat and what reactions you get. Also, if you eat something that is processed. Because let's face it, foods that are not closest to nature, something that comes out of a box or a bag, there's a lot of stabilizers and things of that nature that could also be causing you trouble. So you'll want to make a food journal to kind of know what's happening. And I'm going to give you a breakdown here in a little bit in terms of all the things you do or that you want to do to fix your sinus congestion for good. Now, one of the other big things before we go into my huge list here, well, it's not that big. Don't panic. It's not that bad. But before we go into it, I want to talk about a study that showed with rodents again, that showed an increase in fruit, fiber, and veggies in rodents found that no lipopolysaccharides were increased. So no endotoxins were increased with fruit, fiber, and veggies. Now, the fiber source was a psyllium type of fiber. So most of us are not just going to bust out and eat psyllium. You'd have to use it as a powder in a smoothie or something of that nature. But just the fact that fruit and veggies did not increase LPS gives me more of support for why I tell people eat 6 to 8 cups of veggies a day. Fill yourself with veggies and you are going to feel a heck of a lot better because you're not going to be boosting the endotoxin release. Now, I did mention nightshades can be a problem. Nightshades, let me review. Tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, goji berries. There's something else I'm missing. Potatoes. There you go. Those are the big nightshades. So highly recommend staying off those if you have nasal congestion. And how long do you stay off them? Gosh, you know, I usually have to have people do 3 to 6 months in this case, sometimes up to a year. So keep that in mind. All right. So let's go into my guide that I usually give to patients in terms of nasal congestion as to what the heck to do. So first and foremost, to get rid of nasal congestion for good, we've got to increase the body's immunity in terms of a regulatory response, a safe immunity. We don't want your immune system to go crazy because it already is kind of deranged a little bit because it's reacting to bacteria dying in response to them being irritated. So in this case, you want to strengthen your mucosal lining because you want to make sure that you're not getting things going across. You don't want those lipopolysaccharides going anywhere but the gut and flushed out of the gut. You don't want them in the bloodstream. So by increasing something called secretory IgA, this is an immune globulin, so it's a protein, and it is part of our immune system protection. So the higher amounts of secretory IgA that you have in your system, the more protective you are being in your gut. Now, there is a case in which these levels go way high, meaning that the body's trying really hard to protect against some type of inflammatory agent. Or there's cases in which I'll see in patients that they're really low, meaning that you're immune compromised. The more that you use Flonase, the more that you are using allergic medications, so anti-allergy medications like Zyrtec, Allegra, et cetera, the more you're blocking secretory IgA from doing its thing and protecting you. So how do you boost secretory IgA? Fish oils, number one. Nordic Naturals is my favorite fish oil in the whole world, Pro Omega. You can get it online. Amazon has it. Glutathione. This is your natural janitor. You can supplement with glutathione, but I prefer for folks to boost glutathione naturally using vitamin C. And you don't have to do vitamin C in terms of the pills if you don't want. Kiwi has a ton of vitamin C in it, and it's a great food for beneficial bacteria. It's a fructooligosaccharide. Now, that being said, if you think that you have some issues with gas and bloating, or you know you have some issues with gas and bloating, you might want to use the vitamin C in the pill form for now. I usually use 1,000 milligrams 3 times a day. Watch your bowel function because vitamin C will push your guts. So vitamin C helps you produce glutathione, which is your natural janitor to help clean up toxins in the body. Glutamine. Glutamine is my favorite amino acid in the whole world. It is great for linking your gut lining cells back together. Anyone with gut issues and sinus issues should be taking L-glutamine. Pure Encapsulations has a powder. I prefer the powder versus the capsules because I want it to get all the way down from your throat, all in mouth and throat, all the way down to your digestive system. So I put anywhere from 6 to 9 grams of glutathione in 8 ounces of water and drink it down. Each night is probably the best time to do it in this case, unless you have acid reflux, and then you'd want to do it in the morning time. Really, whenever you can get in glutamine, it's best. My second favorite amino acid is glycine. Glycine helps amazingly for helping to boost the immune system and helping with muscle recovery. So if you work out and you have sore muscles, glycine can help with that too. It also helps induce sleep. And so I use glycine at night. So you can mix your glutamine and your glycine powders and water, and that's your nighttime cocktail. Because let me tell you, alcohol does not do well for your gut. It can help increase your LPSs, and you don't want to do that. So I highly recommend ditching the alcohol, at least on the regular, you know, save it for special occasions. But glutamine and glycine, nice nighttime cocktail. 3 grams of glycine, and like I said, mix it with the glutamine. Yum. Good stuff for your gut and boosting secretory IgA. Zinc is another biggie. I love zinc for the immune system. 15 milligrams a day is what I recommend for zinc. There are a ton of brands out there for zinc. Thorne is probably my favorite, zinc picolinate. In terms of the gut, for gut inflammation, if you're really suffering with gut inflammation and sinus congestion, zinc carnosine by Integrative Therapeutics would be my other favorite. Now, colostrum. So this is what's in milk. It is helpful for protecting the gut lining. Thank goodness some companies have isolated it in the form of IgG, IgA, IgM. These are immunoglobulins. So it's basically taking the immunoglobulins from a cow source and utilizing it to help boost the immunity of our gut lining. The company Microbiome Labs has a product, Mega IgG 2000. In the pill form that can help you with that, or you can use their Mega Mucosa powder, which helps with your mucosal lining and boosting secretory IgA and neutralizing the toxins produced by your negative bacteria, gram-negative bacteria, when they get all irritated. So lots of different things that I've just spewed out there. I will have all of the dosages and everything in my notes at drjkrausnd.com. So head over there if you're wanting to grab all of those dosages and you don't have ability to write it down right now. So the second thing you want to do after increasing your secretory IgA is increase your mucin production. So mucin is produced with some amino acids called threonine, serine, protein, and cysteine. So these 4 amino acids are the building blocks of a healthy mucosal barrier, and they're all in Mega Mucosa powder by Microbiome Labs. And so these guys are like crucial for getting that gut lining linked up. I also have used marshmallow root and licorice root to help increase mucin production as well, which is a totally different way to do it versus using amino acids. So it's up to you in terms of how you want to go about it. But marshmallow root powder or tea or licorice root in capsules or tea can also be extremely useful. I use DGL form of licorice root. You can do a chewable with Integrative Therapeutics has a fructose-free DGL, which is licorice, chewable, but it's going to taste like licorice. So if you don't like the flavor of black licorice, don't do it. Capsules, Douglas Labs has one that is a DGL-based capsule. So something to consider there. Marshmallow root, you'll be looking at tea, or you could do powder. You could throw powder in a smoothie. Mountain Rose Herbals would be who I would go for using the marshmallow root. Now, you need some policing probiotics, so probiotics that are going to work on boosting your anti-inflammatory, insulin-sensitive, good gut bacteria. Akkermansia mucinophilia, that is the insulin-sensitive gut bug you want. Fecobacterium prausnitii, and I suck at saying that last part of it, prausnitii, I don't know. If you're someone that knows exactly how to say that, send me a message phonetically so I can phonetically spell that one, because that one I got to go back to Hooked on Phonics for. But I do know Fecobacterium is the most, the first part of it. So that's your anti-inflammatory bacteria. And you want those guys to be elevated, but we don't have a supplement that – we've not isolated them to create a supplement for them. So what we got to do is we've got to give them some good bacteria. The problem – not good bacteria – good food to eat – known as fructooligosaccharides, so FOS, fructooligosaccharides. The Akkermansia and the Fecobacterium love those, but sometimes these foods can be a problem. Lentils, peas, bamboo shoots, kiwi, honey, and cow's milk all have good fructooligosaccharides. Now keep in mind, if you have sinus issues, cow's milk, that could be possibly causing congestion, so you don't want to go that route. But bamboo shoots, totally random, but you can buy bamboo shoots and you can buy them canned. I don't know if the lining is BPA-free, but in this case, they could be a beneficial fructooligosaccharide. So can kiwi. But here's the thing. If you're wanting to do beneficial bacteria, you got to wait a little bit. You got to weed out your non-beneficial bacteria, because otherwise these fructooligosaccharides can feed bacteria that you don't really want to be growing, the ones that you actually want to get rid of. So in this case, I highly recommend that folks go along the lines of getting a policing probiotic, which would be a spore-based probiotic. I talk about Megaspore here. There's also other spore-based probiotics that are your soil-based probiotics. So look for those if you are not interested in going to microbiomelabs.com for Megaspore. Now, next biggie for sinus congestion sufferers is food allergy testing. I do think it's important. And I use a company called Alcat that looks at the white blood cell reaction of the body in terms of the food reaction. You could also use an agglutination type of study, but Alcat is more specific. And see what you're allergic to. So see what you have a sensitivity to. And most of the time it's going to be because of leaky gut, not because of a true immediate sensitivity reaction. I'm talking delayed sensitivity reactions here. So cut those allergic foods out and leave them out between 3 and 6 months, a year if you have some severes. Then you want to cut out the inflammatory foods. I've mentioned these before, but sugar, big time, nightshades, gluten, dairy, wheat, soy, corn, coconut oil, hydrogenated oils, any refined oils, also fried food oils. These are biggies that feed bacteria that you don't want to be fed. Pressure cook or sprout your grains and legumes to help them to be more digestible so you can reduce the amount of lectins. Stop soda, alcohol, coffee, even the bubbly water. Bubbly water, carbonated, like, you know, LaCroix and all those different companies, it's delicious and a great alternative, but these guys cause some serious gut issues. They can cause gas and bloating, but they also can cause some disruption of your gut bacteria, which would cause them to produce endotoxins known as LPS, like I've mentioned this whole podcast. A lot of people in my practice, if they stop the sparkling flavored water, the sinus stuff goes down. I've even found in myself that my sinuses do clog up a little bit when I drink the bubbly water. So I had to quit that addiction. Now, look for grass-fed and finished beef, pasture-raised eggs, chicken, turkey, ditch lunch meat and processed meats. Those meats just have so many things in them that can definitely disrupt your bacteria in your gut that affect the sinus congestion. And when I'm talking about processed meats, I'm talking about salami, I'm talking about bacon. I know all the delicious stuff, everything that's pretty much staples on a keto diet. Use expeller pressed olive oil, avocado oil, any other expeller pressed oils like sunflower, safflower, much better than the refined oils. Consider using Stress Response by Gaia Herbs. It's an herbal formula to help you deal with stress, because a lot of us also have our gut bug imbalance due to stress. So keep that in mind. Now, a neti pot or a Neel Med rinse device with one drop of oregano oil in the solution daily versus the Flonase is highly recommended. Why? Because like I said before early in the podcast, Flonase does reduce your immune system function. And so if you're hitting up the Flonase pretty hard going into cold and flu season and you do get exposed to a virus or a bacteria or something, you're not going to be able to fight it off as well, or you won't respond to it and things can get worse. And so I really highly recommend working on keeping your sinus passages open naturally. I'm going to put this whole list of all of the interventions on my website at drjkrausnd.com. I hope that they can be useful for you. Now, of course, I sometimes do have folks keeping on Flonase for a little bit, at least a month, while you're working on your gut, while you're working on removing all of those offending foods, then pull the Flonase out. You can do that as well. Then go to the neti pot or the Neomed nasal rinse. Just something to try and use in the meantime, because sometimes I have some folks with such severe nasal congestion that the Flonase can't come out right away. So if you're one of those people, keep that in mind that you can consider removing it after a month of doing all of your other interventions. So keep in mind that the nasal congestion isn't just your sinuses being problematic. A lot of times it's related to food sensitivities, it's related to leaky gut, and it's related to the endotoxins being produced on your gut lining as a result of your good gut bugs dying or even your bad gut bugs dying. It all kind of depends on what's happening in terms of the flux. The closer you eat to nature, the less toxic foods you eat and drink, the better that your body is going to feel and the better your sinuses are going to feel overall. I highly recommend working on some stress management too, because out of all of the factors that I can eliminate, stress is probably the most difficult one. So make sure you're getting out and having fun every day for 5 minutes, channeling your inner five-year-old. And, you know, just keep plugging along. And if you're really wondering about more advanced treatments for the sinuses, hit me up, send me a message. I'm here to help. I'd love to answer questions. So you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey, everybody. Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.